Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Most of the time when we read this text from Matthew, we start thinking about how to be welcoming to others. Hospitality is a huge issue in the Bible. Just ask anybody in the Wednesday night Bible study and they'll tell you. We've been studying Luke for 2 years now, and people in that Bible study will tell you that either St. Luke or Pastor Paul is crazy about hospitality. Can't stop talking about it. It's everywhere. Well, a quick commercial here. Hang on. Speaking of that Bible study, you can join that Bible study on Wednesday evenings starting at 7:12 p.m. by calling the same number that you're just calling in now for worship. The 7:12 start time is so that we don't get started on the quarter hour because so many other telephone conferences start at that time. Anyway, join the Bible study, 7:12 on Wednesday. We always see more together than any of us sees alone. It's really good. Okay, end of commercial. Anyway, Matthew's gospel is also filled with hospitality. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was in prison and you visited me. As you did to the least of these, you did it unto me, Jesus says in Matthew's gospel famously. So it's not unexpected that we might hear this morning's text and immediately start to think about how we can best receive people and show them hospitality. And we will get to that. But right now, let me point out the amazing truth of this little piece of scripture from Matthew. The text doesn't say, get out there and welcome the stranger, make everybody feel welcomed and at home. The text says, anybody who welcomes you welcomes Jesus, and who welcomes Jesus welcomes the Father. Whoever welcomes you welcomes Jesus, welcomes the Father. That means you, dear brothers and sisters. You have been elevated to the stature of emissary of God. Can we get our hearts around that? It is nothing less than Jesus saying that we are spiritually united with Christ, that we walk into a situation as Christ. And if anyone welcomes us, they welcome Christ. That is an amazing statement. It is an amazing statement that we will do whatever we can to deflect. Oh, don't think like that. That will lead to arrogance. We need to be more humble than that. Don't let this go to your head. On and on and on, we fight it off. But I tell you, this insight, this truth does not produce arrogance. Arrogance comes when we think the opposite of what this text is saying, that we are not of much value, and we therefore have to produce our own value. That is most of the problem most of the time. We simply have not yet let in this brilliant light of truth. Whoever welcomes you welcomes Christ. You and I can barely let in a compliment, let alone that. At the anniversary of my fifth year at Abiding Savior in North Carolina, the congregation sat me down in the middle of the fellowship hall and began to tell me and told me to listen as people told stories of how important parts of their lives that I had played. The first one started, and I immediately began to deflect the thanks that this person was giving me. Dear Linda Warren, to whom I will always be grateful, stood at my side, put her hand gently on my shoulder, and said, "Pastor, just listen." "Oh, sure," I said, and then proceeded to do the same thing with the next person who spoke. But now, Linda's hand was on my shoulder a lot more firmly. "Pastor, we listen to you preach every Sunday. Now it's time for you to listen to us." One more time, one more very heavy hand on my shoulder, and then it dawned on me. I can only describe it as a clarity of heart that actually straightened my body right up. From that moment on, I was in a world of humble gratitude and honor. I knew what it meant to be welcomed and gathered in and loved. None of what was said went to my head. It went straight to my heart. A very similar thing happened here recently when the choir did a telephone goodbye appreciation for Rolf Vegdahl, who after years of leading the choir and being among us will be moving this fall. Anyway, I was able to eavesdrop on that event by telephone, and as each member of the choir spoke their admiration and gratitude to Rolf, you could hear him with each person begin just a little bit to move towards a joke or a quick "and also with you" kind of response, but only for the briefest of moments. Only those of us who are experts at this might have even picked it up. But then he would catch himself, as if a heavy hand were laying on his shoulder. And I could see in my mind's eyes as he straightened up and let in these beautiful gifts that people were giving him. It was an honor to listen to all of that. It was beautiful. And so I invite you also to let in this gift from St. Matthew, this gift from our Lord, that you are to Christ as he is to the Father, beloved child. This is the holy truth about us. We are in union with Christ in the love of God. Anyone who even gives you a cup of water will be rewarded for their gracious act toward God. Here, we are on the other side of, "as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me." We are the least of these. The angels rejoice to see you welcomed, fed, watered, visited. Heaven breaks out in song when you are received. Know this deep in your hearts, and then you will look out on the world and its suffering and be fearlessly able to acknowledge our part in it, to know that we are not loved for our perfection, but in our brokenness and in our weakness, we are received by God. A friend of mine had the great fortune to have a seminary class with Archbishop Desmond Tutu. The first day of class, Tutu asked a couple of questions. He said, "First, how many of you know that you are sinful?" And everybody raised their hand. "Second question, how many of you know deep in your bones that you are loved by God?" Nobody raised their hand. "These future pastors." "Ah," Tutu said, "then my task this semester is clear. I do not have to convince you of your sin. I must convince you of your belovedness before God. Because until you are so convinced, you will not be of any use to anyone. You will be driven by shame and not by love." You, dear friends, many of you have seen firsthand people driven by shame and not by love. You know what it is to see people slump down in guilt. You have welcomed them, and you have loved them into new life. Combat veterans have come to Chelan as part of the Honorable Welcome Home program, carrying the knowledge of their sin and their brokenness. They have been received here by you, and they leave here really knowing, sometimes perhaps for the first time in decades, that they are not what they have done, that they are beloved and gathered in by God and by you, God's people, that their identity is not in the old, ugly story, but is in telling us who we are, and God naming that for them through you. And I submit that you could not reflect such freedom and grace and love to anyone had you not known your own beloved. And I think this is really important, because in the social struggles, in the sin which we are going to be facing over these next years, the sins of racism and economic disadvantage and all of the things that we will face, it is by our belovedness alone that we will be led to truth and to love and to the justice of the kingdom of God. In our belovedness, we will be able to stand and say, yes, I have participated in that. That is not who I am. I am a child of God. And who receives me receives Jesus. And to stand in that honor, and then to say, and whoever I receive, I will receive in the name of Jesus. I can own everything about me, because everything about me has been redeemed by God. That's what the world needs. People who know that they are loved. And then can face the sin of which we are, in which we are complicit. Perhaps Thomas Merton says it best. He's had a conversion experience of sorts in Louisville, Kentucky, and afterwards he says, having seen that we are all a part of this amazing human existence, the human existence that Jesus became a part of, he says this, as if the sorrows and stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me now that I realize what we all are. Only everybody could realize this. But it cannot be explained. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. I don't know if there's no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. I'm telling you that you are walking around shining like the sun. And you, when you are received as Christ. Let that soak in. Let that heavy shoulder stand, let that heavy hand stand on your shoulder for a minute and let you feel uncomfortable until it sinks in, and then you can stand up straight and let it go straight to your heart.